Blog Talk Radio.
Always like to put that siren in there because we're on fire. But for the people listeners, you're here, you're at UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can check out the United Wrestling Council. They do have a website, unitedwrestlingcouncil.com. I think there's some old stuff on there. I know they haven't updated it in a minute because the owner and the proprietor of the United Wrestling Council, Manny Pinson himself, has been extremely busy working behind the scenes trying to looking for April 11th to do the big United Wrestling Council show, but it definitely got pushed back to the 18th, which should be come to fruition because tomorrow is Monday. They should be opening up everything to the red tier and we should be good to go, but we will definitely keep everybody posted on that. I mean, it's been a nightmare just to try to get something going out here in LA County, like Orange County running like it's no problem. We're going to try to have Vito Fratelli on today, but he's got a show in Orange County for Lucha Libre Independiente or something like that. I can't remember which one he told me. So we're working on it, but got a good guest coming on tonight. I've been wanting to get him on for a minute, but, you know, got so much going on and different things that, you know, just are beyond our control that we've been – well, today was a time change, and I had a meeting at 7 o'clock this morning. So it was really 6 o'clock in the morning. So getting up at 6 o'clock or 5:30, 5:45 or so on a Sunday after the time change is whack. So just to let you know what's happening, but if you want to do a good show and you want, you know, to stay in the business and you want your shows to be good and you want to keep getting the best people you can out here, those are the little things that you have to do. So that's what's been going on. But Ricky Mandel is going to come on at about the 15-minute mark. Might get him on a little bit early so we could talk to him. I know, you know, I was talking to RJ. Got a big show coming up. I'll give you that show real quick before I continue. It's called A New Beginning. It's going to be Saturday, April 3rd. It's at 1366 Walnut Street in the city of San Bernardino. So had to go as far as San Bernardino just to be able to do the show because, you know, I don't know if they've opened up into the red tier or whatever, but he's outside show or so we can be able to get that done. So that show's coming up. If you want some information on that show, it's area code 323-303-0477. That's for RJ Productions. And Ricky Mandel's got a big match coming up. So wanted to talk to him about that because, first of all, he's coming from Vegas. So he's got about a 2.5-3 hour drive just to get down here. And we talk a lot about being out of the comfort zone or whatever because a lot of guys, you know, they won't take a lucha booking or whatever because they're not comfortable and they don't want to clash or whatever. But since Ricky Mandel worked so much like at Lucha Underground and was exposed to a lot of those guys out there and worked with them and could just like Johnny Moon, he was working at AAA. So you get that experience and you're comfortable. It's like, hey man, go ahead, book me against the luchador or whatever. Let's do it. You know, but this is going to be no DQ match. So I'm pretty sure they're just going to get to brawling after they'll probably start out trying to be cool. Then it's going to turn into a big brawl. So we'll talk to him about that. I want to talk to him a little bit about training out in Vegas because I guess the gyms are opened up over there and, you know, see what's going on with him as far as all that stuff. So we definitely look forward to that. But got him. It's funny because I was getting ready to come on the air and there's wrestling on every night except for Thursday. Thursday, there's nothing. But other than that, Monday's Raw, Tuesday's Impact, Wednesday, of course, AEW and NXT. Thursdays, there's nothing. Friday, I stay up and watch Ring of Honor, which comes on at midnight. On DirecTV. Hard for me to stay up because I'm working so much at my regular job, but I killed myself to stay up because they had Flamita against Flip Gordon, and it was delicious. I stayed up and watched it, and I thought it was pretty cool. I don't buy pay-per-views very often. Like, I didn't get the last AEW pay-per-view. I just saw some of the clips, and people told me about it, stuff like that, which from what I hear from the consensus is, good thing you didn't spend your money, because from what I heard, it was just okay. I mean, you knew Ray Phoenix was going to deliver, but other than that, they said it was just all right. So, but the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, never hesitate. I always get that because they got good talent over there. Some stuff there with the, you know, the six-man tag team champions used to be Flamita, Rey Horus, and Bandido. And they lost it to the Shane something like the Money Team or whatever, Ring of Honor, Shane, whatever his name is. So they're going to get that rematch. So that right there has me getting ready to buy it. And then, of course, Rush is going to take on Jay Lethal, which is pretty cool. So the way they're mixing it up is cool. I don't know if they have a spot for Brody King yet. I know he came on the TV show that I watched on Friday, came and broke some stuff up. So I don't know if they have something for him. So especially if he's on the pay-per-view, I want to support. So I'll definitely get that pay-per-view. EC3 is finally going to do some wrestling. Hopefully he's going to go against Jay Briscoe. So looking forward to that. So I'm definitely going to stay up and watch that. But anyways, I stay up on Saturday. And then Saturday afternoon, they have the CMLL on Channel 57, I think, is at 4 o'clock. So I watch a little bit of that. It's kind of old, got some old stuff, but it's pretty cool. And then today on Sunday, they have CMLL from 5 to 7. So I was watching that, and it was I never seen the guy before. He had like a white mask with a blue like shading on it, or it's not Diamante Azul because I know who that is, but it's a younger guy. And he was teamed with Ruby Gardenia against Felino's other son, I forget what he wrestles under, and somebody else. But anyways, he went to give him the Huracarrana, this blue and white mask wrestler or whatever. But when he gave him the scissors or whatever to take him around, the guy didn't go with them. He just stood stiff, so that when he turned around, the guy landed directly on his head and popped his shoulders. His shoulders like came all the way up almost to his ears. And as soon as I saw that, I knew it, man. I knew that dude was in trouble. So I don't know if anybody saw it up there. They replay it the next Sunday. So they'll replay that show next Sunday at 5 o'clock, because that was the 6 o'clock hour when they showed it. So they'll replay it next Sunday at 5 o'clock. If you get a chance, check it out, because you could, as soon as you seen it, you knew, because it kind of looked like when Chris Daniels did it when he was wrestling Mike Modest for their big WCW when they were trying to get their tryout over there. So you know it's serious when everybody runs out. There was no audience because it was during the big time COVID when they couldn't have anybody in. Everybody ran out. They put a C collar on him in the ring and got him out of there. And Ruby Gardenia had to finish the match by himself. So you knew, but it just goes to show you, man, if I don't know if they didn't call it right or what happened, but that dude landed just head first, neck, shoulders, everything, man, just crunched. And I'm like, dude, and you hate to see that. I mean, it's just really bad. So if I'm going to try and find out the information, because I have no idea who that dude was. They give the names in the beginning, but I don't know what I was doing. I didn't see it, but you got to see it, because it was just, it was horrible, man. I would say worse than when Steve Austin got it by Owen Hart. I mean, it was really bad. So anyways, got to check that out. But the point I'm trying to make is, you know, we have wrestling on all week. The pay-per-view is coming up. If I'm going to buy it, you know, that's the one I go with, Ring of Honor. That I think that's what makes it interesting. You know, they mix it up so well. They mix up some of the lucha guys, Rush, Dragon Lee, all those guys, Flamita, Rey Horus. They really, the way they mix them with the other wrestlers. Is it with the Ingobernables? I have no idea. I don't know. They must be working an angle there, because that dude sticks out like a sore thumb, but who knows? So we look forward to that. And as that pay-per-view gets closer, we'll announce some of the people that are going to be on there. Can't have no watch parties anymore because of the COVID, so we just have to talk to each other and see how it turns out or whatever. So there you go. Just want to talk a little bit about that. Of course, want to let you guys know that Ricky Mandel's coming up. I'm going to take the big break right now. We're going to give him a call, make sure we get him on here, and we'll be back. And right back after this. And of course, we want to thank our great sponsors, Paul's Photo. Far and away, Paul's Photo is the best store for all your camera needs. Located in the city of Torrance, they have the best prices and professional advice from beginner to pro. Still photos or video, Paul's Photo will take care of all your needs at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard in the city of Torrance. You can also call Mark at 310-375-7014, and you can always go to paulsphoto.com. Paul's Photo, ready, willing, and able to help with all your camera needs. That's what we're planning on doing that show. We haven't met with Mark yet until we make sure we have all our ducks in a row, but I'm pretty sure it's going to come to fruition. I mean, he's psyched and really wants to help out and make a good show, so I think we're going to do really well. And City, which will have their booth or their whole people in the VIP section, will be Yards After Contact. Got to check out Yards After Contact printing service, apparel, and, of course, custom cornhole boards. Check them out at yardsaftercontact.com and check out their Facebook page. A lot of good pictures on that Facebook page with the custom cornhole boards. I talk about it all the time. You got to see it for yourself. I'm pretty sure if you see it, you're going to say, dude, I got to get one of those. They'll put whatever you want. It's really cool. So, especially UWC shirts, modeled by the owner and the proprietor of UWC, Manny Pinson. That's Yards After Contact. Get your custom gear today. It's funny because we got Fred Gabriel, who wrestles as Freddie Havoc. He's going to come on. He's going to start co-hosting with me because I always like to have somebody to throw some stuff off of or whatever. So we're going to get him coming on pretty soon. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. But let's get Ricky Mandel on here so we can talk some serious wrestling here. I'm gonna get his thoughts on that real quick too before we get going and talking about some wrestling.
King Favi.
Hey Ricky, what's up, man? You're live here on UWC Radio. Don't forget you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to get all the latest information. And on the line with me right now, Ricky Mandel. Ricky, how are you, my friend?
I am good. How are you, bud?
I'm doing good. I got a few. But before we continue, I was talking in the opening about there's wrestling on almost every day. You know, Monday you got Raw, Tuesday is Impact, Wednesday you got, you know, AEW, and there's a wrestling on every day. So I watch a lot of the luchas on the weekend, and I was watching it today, and it was a wrestler I've never seen before. He had like a half blue, half white mask on or whatever. They announced their names at the beginning, but I missed it. And he was teamed with Ruby Gardenia against Felino's younger son, who wrestles as El Tigre or something, I can't remember. But anyways, the guy in the blue mask went to give him the scissors, you know, where he jumps up and scissors him and takes him around and flips him over and takes him out the ring, the huracarrana,
sure,
or whatever. But what happened was, he went to, right when he jumped and gave him the scissors, the other wrestler didn't go with him. He just stood straight up. So when he went, the dude landed just head first. And
oof.
You know, you could. When I saw it, I said, "Oh my God, that's it." I mean, he, you know, when you land with your head first, and then you crunch your shoulders because you pop,
yep,
so much. So they came running in and they put the neck brace on him and everything while the match was still going on, and got him out of there. So Ruby Gardenia had to finish the last fall by himself. So.
Right.
I mean, first of all, have you ever had anything like that happen to you where you need to do – I mean, we don't want to pull the curtain back too much, but have you ever had something like that where you go to do a move and the guy has – either he has no idea that it's coming or whatever, and then he just totally screws you up and you end up getting injured?
Honestly, I'm not too certain about – I mean, don't get me wrong. I've been, you know, injured or hurt in matches, but most of the time,
right,
it's not from – it's not from, you know, miscommunication like that.
Yeah.
I know I've been in situations where mostly tag matches where somebody gets hurt and then we have to finish without the person,
yeah,
like on our own.
That's when you know it's serious.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, I mean, I've been in that situation many a time, but I can't, like, honestly, like, I'm trying to think if,
well, what's the worst injury that you've ever had in the ring?
I think it would probably have to be – okay, I had two
yeah,
that were pretty bad. One was I compressed my back, like,
yeah,
early in my career, actually, where I was still teaming with Hector. Canales at the time. So I probably shouldn't have been wrestling, but I was young and stubborn. So I would, yeah, most of the time he was my tag partner. So I was, even during like getting in the ring for the tag was, you know, very, very slow, graceful, but it was either that or tearing my rotator cuff.
Oh, and that is just a nagging injury that I mean, that like hardly ever goes away. And then you're cognizant of it. You know what I mean? When you go to pick somebody up for the slam to turn them over or whatever, dude, I've had that and that sucks. But it's weird because it's, you know, you're this big wrestler that like, well, I'm fat, so I'm always catching. have you heard of this kid Jack Cartwright? The Cartwheel.
Yeah.
Okay. We had a show in Orange County, and it was me and I had two other guys with me, you know, or whatever. And he says, okay, dude, you know, he's coming off the third to the outside, and since I'm the biggest one, it's like, well, we'll make sure you're there to catch him. And I'm like, well, dude, I'm 55 years old. Where are you guys at? So when they come, I'm like, dude. So when he came and because he's like a gymnast, like he's really stocky, like almost like a Barney Rubble. So when he, dude, I mean, it was like catching a boulder or something that fell off a cliff or whatever. So I felt it, you know, in my back. But I mean, I'm old already, so it was killing me. But the worst, it seems like the injuries that you get aren't from like something you go, oh, this guy that's 400 pounds jumped on me or whatever. Like I was wrestling Guyan from the Chivos, and he gave me a slam, and when he came off to do the senton, you know, like the kind of like what's his name, Jeff Hardy does, he hit me just right to where his head hit me like in the kidneys or whatever.
Ooh.
Dude, it nagged for, I would say, at least 3 weeks. I mean, it was just one of those injuries that just killed you or whatever. So is it the same with you? You expect to get these injuries if you're going against this person, but it's the littlest thing that you don't expect that gives you that injury?
Right. It's the stuff where, I mean, I guess when you go into that, I guess it's the injuries that you would expect. If they, you know, if they were actually going to injure you, you probably wouldn't do them, right? Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's so many times where I've been in that situation where, like, I'm not expecting to necessarily get injured, but you know you're going to feel it, or it's going to bother you, but you still want to, you know, go out there and do it.
Exactly.
Because, you know you're going to be fine, and those things are, okay, it's over? Oh, well, that was easy. But like, the little things where, I mean, I've had my nose busted on a spinning wheel kick, you know, how? Like, I mean, I know it's coming right at you, but I mean, you know,
hindsight
says I just turned my head or whatever, but.
Yeah. And even if you prepare yourself for it, if it's just the slightest, this is why I get mad when people, that wrestling, you know, is so fake. If you turn your head the slightest and catch it, that's it, dude. Boom. And you're right, you know, getting hit in the nose. So that's what annoys me when people say stuff like that. But anyways, real quick for the people listening, you're here at UWC Radio. We're talking to Ricky Mandel. Big match coming up for him. We're going to talk a little bit about that later because I want to get his thoughts on that about wrestling Pacquiao. But it's called A New Beginning. It's Saturday, April 3rd. It's going to be at 1366 Walnut Street in the city of San Bernardino. If you want some information on it, you could dial 323-303-0477. That's for RJ Productions. And I'll give that number at the end if you want to call and find out some information. Because, you know, nowadays, Ricky, they call and, okay, man, is it going to be outdoors? Do I have to wear a mask? If I bring three people, do we have to sit 8 feet apart? And, I mean, it's a whole new ball game with this COVID. So I want to talk a little bit about that because I had you on my other show before, and we were talking a little bit about the COVID situation. And I was saying how it seems like a lot of people went one of two ways. Some of the wrestlers just like, dude, this COVID's here. I'm going to relax. I'm going to heal up some injuries. I'm going to eat. And whatever. And then there was a lot of people that I saw that said, hey, man, I'm going to take advantage of this and I'm going to train and I'm going to get myself together. You, first of all, I don't think Ricky Mandel's ever been an inkling out of shape, but it looks like you even stepped it up quite a bit. First of all, did the gyms completely shut down there and you had to start working out on your own? Because it looks like they're open now. But tell me a little bit about that training during the COVID. Did you have to like make your own? Well, let me tell you me real quick. I was getting up every morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, or like 6:30, because Walmart opened at 7, trying to find a 5-pound plate here and a 10-pound plate here. It took me one full year to be able to make a rack of dumbbells that went from 35 to 75. It's just buying pieces here and there. So that was – and the gyms out here, I live in Long Beach, still haven't opened up yet. I mean, not even at 10% capacity or outside or whatever. So in Vegas, it seems like it's a little bit different. I see – I follow Ricky on his social media. It looks like you've been going to gym with Sarah and working out and stuff like that. So tell us a little bit about that training during the COVID.
Sure. So when it first happened, everything was still at full capacity, right? So we're, okay, cool, this is fine. You would hear about other gyms closing, and I would hear people talking like, okay, yeah, we're next, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you're like, okay, I don't just want to work out. Like, can we not hope for the worst practically,
yes,
you know,
please.
Or think the worst? But then all of a sudden, you know, it's, hey, we're closing down for however long. And it became kind of like you, similar to, you know, I remember going to – forgot what I was doing. Like, I think I was at the mall, okay? And one of the malls out here has a Dick's Sporting Goods, right? And I remember walking past it, right? And I was thinking to myself, maybe I should go check for dumbbells. But then I was like, you know what? Like, it was kind of like later in the day. I was tired. I was, you know, I'll just go tomorrow. Well, tomorrow came – And that's when we start, right. And then they start with the whole, like, okay, gyms are going to be closed. Everything's, you know, shutting down. I think I've seen somebody say, I think this was from a different state where the gyms had already closed. So the guy, whoever it was saying, I went out and got bands, go get yours now, blah, blah, blah. So I thought about it. I was like, all right, you know, I'll go to Walmart. Because like you said, like you could get dumbbells at Walmart.
Yes.
Well, I went to Walmart that night, Walmart that night. Everything was gone. Okay. I know there's a Dick's Sporting Goods by my house. So I drove over to that place. They were closed. They shut down. Where am I going to get these weights? I went to a different Walmart. Same thing. Everything was just gone. So I decided, okay, I have one last place I could go. I could try Big Five, and Big Five's a little bit out of the way from my house, but at the very least, there's a Trader Joe's, so I could just went and got some like food or something.
Ooh,
just you know, not a trip wasted.
Right.
So I went. So I go and like no dumbbells. Like damn. So I'm just like gonna buy the heavy bands, and the lady who worked there came up to me. And she's like, you know, I noticed you're buying, you know, these bands. Well, just so you know, we're getting a shipment in tomorrow. So I'm like, oh, cool. What time do y'all open? And she told me. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'll be there at that time. Well, I pull up the next day. Let's just say 9 o'clock or whatever. Pull up at 9. And there's a line going out Big Five, right? And I'm like, how many people she let in on this, you know?
word of mouth.
Right. So I stand in line. I'm like, I'm not going to get anything. Like, whatever. I'll just try my best, see what we could get. Or at the very least, I'll get the heavy bands. Those should be around. And it turns out they opened the doors. And the first question was, how many people are here for ammo? And everyone raised their hand. And they're like, how many people are here for anything else? I raised my hand. Like, okay, come in. And I just walk by. Like, okay, well, you guys get your ammo. I got mine for my guns already. And then I went in, and they didn't get any, like, normal, you know, for me, I wanted heavy dumbbells. They only got, like, 15s in. I think I have 15s just for, you know, just to have around the house.
Yeah.
But then I turned the corner, and there was a box with those, like, Bowflex dumbbells, you know, the ones that are adjustable. So I purchased those. So I got lucky. Because everyone else.
You know what, dude? I cannot believe that you said that. It's funny because we were out here. I saw the same thing at Big Five. We have one on the traffic circle out here, and it was my wife and I, and Nicolette was with us. And I go, hey, I'm gonna go to Big Five. I know they raised the prices a little bit, but I saw that same line. And I said, and I thought about that too. I said, that might be for ammunition. I said, but you know what? I am not standing in that line. So I passed it up.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right.
I had no idea it was for, I thought it was for ammunition, but then, you know, isn't it? I mean, it's crazy in this day and age where there's people just lining up for ammunition and weights. And,
right.
Because you still go to the Targets out, I mean, the Walmarts out here, and they're still empty. You know, I mean, it's amazing how much. And then now the gyms are about to open. And I'm like, well, dude, I'm kind of set. I mean, I'm probably just going to go to the gym to do some cardio now and get on the treadmills
right.
and stuff like that because I already got – and it's nicer for me because I work in the medical field and my hours are so screwed up. You know, I'm going to come home and work out and hit it when I can or whatever. So it kind of worked out that way for me. So now the,
right.
it looks like the gyms are back open over there. So are you back full-time? I mean, is it at 10% capacity or are you able to go whenever you want? How's that working out?
No, I'm going whenever. I mean, okay, so when it first opened, they were doing by reservation only because they were only allowing. Yeah, but the thing is, honestly, with the reservation thing, they would do it because they would expect people, just in case they were going to go over, like, the 100
capacity.
People mark or whatever. But
yeah.
there was never a time where, like, I could have literally woke up the next morning and put in my reservation and been fine because there just
yeah.
weren't that many people going at the time. Now that we're back up to, I think it's at 50% now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's at 50%. And they just, I mean, obviously it's not filling up because it'll say like 210 people per, you know, at a time or whatever. Obviously
yeah.
there's not 210 people, but it still seems so crowded. And I think that's because other gyms actually close down for good. Like, I
yeah.
go to a gym called EOS, or EOS,
uh-huh.
and I know the 24-hour fitnesses out here are done. At least there's, like, maybe, like, one still open.
Yeah.
But because of that, people are jumping ship to, you know, the Planet Fitnesses and the EOSes and whatever. I think there's another L.A. or Las Vegas, and I don't even know, the LNV, some crap or other, whatever, but
yeah.
they're just jumping ship, and now it just seems so crowded, because I wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning, go, just to have the gym to myself, and now there's a good amount of people in there at that time.
Yeah,
what?
It just sounds funny, I had to make a reservation to go to the gym, I mean, what the
yeah,
heck,
yeah, right.
man, with time, it's crazy, but anyways, real quick for the people listening, so you're here, you're at UWC Radio, and we're talking to Ricky Mandel, talking a little bit about training during the COVID and getting back to the gym, and you know, let me ask you this question real quick before I move on. I've been married for years, okay,
right.
and my wife and I go to the gym, and Nicolette goes with us too, and Nicolette is always hitting the elliptical and the treadmills and stuff like that, and then they'll go lift a little bit of weights after, which I'm totally opposite. I like to hit the weights first and then go do my cardio on a different day. But it
right.
seems like Sarah's with you, so you kind of train together. When I get there, people don't even know that's my wife because, first of all, I'm old and I'm slow. So they're out of the
right.
by the time I'm locking the car or whatever, you know what I mean? So,
right, right.
so we never train together or whatever. It's always separate. We go together, but we just train separate. Is it better to have somebody like that that's with you and helping you train to kind of motivate, hey, we're at this point and, you know, let's buy this to eat or whatever so we can get to this weight and look this good? Or whatever. Is it easier that way for you, or do you kind of want to do your own thing? How does that work out?
Well, in all honesty, we do our own thing. We
oh,
just
okay.
take a picture at the end.
See, that's what
that's,
I was thinking.
Yeah, sorry to pull back the curtain there, Bobby. But yeah, that's pretty. I mean, if we're doing stuff the same body part per day,
yeah.
like we might start off with like, okay, let me do this, and you hold this station while I hold this station. That
yeah,
type of thing
yeah.
is very convenient. It's very good.
Yes.
But today we both went for. I think she, you know, we normally do back on Sundays. So she went in and she's like, okay, cool. But I seen like all the leg stuff was empty. Like all
yeah.
the presses were empty. All the squat racks were, everything was just empty for legs. And it just
yeah.
seemed so crowded with all the back stuff just seemed so, like the dumbbell rack seemed, I was like, oh, I'm just going to do legs today. Like I just,
yeah.
I'm switching it up. Sorry. And she went and did her thing. I went and did mine. And then, just kind of, you know, like towards the end, she'll be like, how much more do you have left? Because I want to go do cardio or whatever. Okay, cool. Or,
yeah.
you know, are you going to do cardio? I'm going to do cardio. I'm going to do my cardio outside today. So that's just kind of how that goes.
Yeah, and I'm the type of person, too. I like to work out by myself with my headphones on and just do my own thing. You know, I get annoyed when I'm in chest or something and I see, like, these three young kids that are, like, 18, 19 years old, and they're on the bench press for, you know, an hour and a half talking, and they're on the phone. You know,
right,
and
right,
I don't
want
to be that. I don't want to be that old man that goes over and goes, "Hey, are you here to work out? Are you here to talk on your phone?" Get, you know, and they shut up, old man. So I try to keep my patience or whatever. But that's why, you know, at home I can go anytime I want and hit it. And now that I've completed everything, I mean, first of all, I have so much pent-up anger because where I work at is so busy and everybody's at each other's throats that I get that hour and a half to myself. You know what I mean? And now I see why they have prisons in weights in the prison, because you get that anger out. You know what I mean? So I was always against that, but I see, man, if I didn't have my weights in my garage or whatever to work out, I'd go nuts. You know, because you get it all out. You kind of find that with yourself. You get that hour and a half or whatever, 2 hours to yourself, where you just, you know, and it kind of gets you, like, it's like a lifestyle, right? It's like it's just in you now.
Right. I've always been that way with also because I'm so I don't like. I'll tell you a quick story real quick. So when I went to, this was years ago, when I went back to visit my family in Illinois. My nephews are all, like, my oldest nephew is only 4 years younger than me. So we're all similar in age, and, you know, so they own restaurants. My family does. So if anybody's out in Illinois, Paisan's Pizza, there you go. Anyway.
Yeah.
so the guy was, one of their managers, I guess, would talk about going to the gym, and he was just, you know, like, I go to the gym, one of those, you know, nothing like, you know, just like lightweight, doesn't really, not looking to do anything with it, you know, just stay healthy or whatever. And my nephew goes, he wants to work out with you. And I'm like, wait, what? He goes, it's like almost like a rib, like, from my nephew. He doesn't know anything about it. He ribs me right there, you know. And at the time, I don't know how to, you know, I was still young. So I'm like, oh, shot. Now I just be like, no, I don't. Sorry, dude. Like, I do my own thing. So I got so used to, and I still do this, where, like, I'll do a, like, let's say I do a you know, a decline press, I'll waste 30 seconds walking over to do a tricep movement and then go back. So I'm going back and forth, and I'm not really wasting much time just sitting. I like to move around. So, like, supersetting, giant setting, all that good stuff. But with that, it was, like, hard because this guy can't keep up. You know?
Yeah. And you don't want to be rude, you know, but it's just you're already set in your ways.
Right. So maybe there are some people who, you know, wouldn't mind just kind of sitting there and chatting while they work out. I'm not that person. Like, let me throw my headphones in. Or I'll even go as far as, like, if I think somebody's going to talk to me, I just, like, throw on my headphones if I didn't have them on already.
Yeah. That's it. To me, that's. I've always been that way too. I like to put my headphones on. I get that hour and a half to myself, and I just hit it and keep going. But real quick, Ricky, can you hang on just real quick for like 30 seconds? I got to take a quick break, and then I want to talk about this big match that you got coming up. Hang on, everybody. Cool. We're talking to Ricky Mandel. We'll be right back after this. Hold on. Yeah, I have to reset the board to get everything back together, or else the owner, Manny himself, this will be me. I got to make sure I get everything set. But real quick for the people listeners, don't forget Paul's Photo. Far and away, Paul's Photo is the best store for all your camera needs. Located in the city of Torrance, they have the best prices and professional advice from beginner to pro. Still photos or video, Paul's Photo will take care of all your photo and video needs. Located at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard in the city of Torrance. You can call Mark at 310 775-7014, and you can always go to paulsphoto.com. Paul's Photo, ready, willing, and able to help with all your camera needs. Had to get that in, Ricky, because he's got a big show coming up, and he's one of the main sponsors, so we had to make sure we got that in. But I got to tell you, man, I've known RJ for quite some time, and it's a long story that I don't really want to go over on the air, because the wrestling business is such a cutthroat business, you know.
Right.
And I want to help out as much as I can, because that dude, you know, he really tries really hard and helps a lot of different promoters, you know, with you know, getting some of these guys from Mexico or whatever. So I was Nicolette and I were talking earlier, and I was saying, hey, I'm gonna have Ricky on because, you know, he's coming, he's gonna wrestle Pacá, and then we started talking about being in and out of your comfort zone. And I said, you know, that's a very, like, different matchup, you know, bringing him to wrestle Pacquiao, who's hardcore lucha, and then you got Ricky. But then, you know, she brought up a good point. She goes, well, he's worked with Lucha Underground, you know, and is that where you first got exposed to working with a lot of these lucha guys, or had you been doing, because before, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, just going to tell you, but back in the day, that's all there was luchas out here in L.A. So I had to learn. Right. You know, to work lucha, or else I wasn't going to get any work. So was it kind of similar to you, or did you get a lot of, did it just enhance your exposure to lucha when you started working for Lucha Underground?
With Lucha Underground, yeah, that just enhanced it. I had some lucha training in the past. I think, you know, I was trained by, my main trainers were the Ballards and Aaron Aguilera and Ryan Sakota. And Aaron and the Ballards, you know, obviously they were, you know, training how UPW wanted us to taught that traditional WWE style, because it was a developmental for so long.
Yeah.
But the Ballards would make it, you know, a point to teach the, you know, the lucha style. Same with Aaron, because he, you know, they grew up they came up in, you know, Southern California wrestling that style.
Right.
So they made it clear, like, hey, this is a good style to learn, even at the very least, learn how to base for it. So I was familiar with a lot of that stuff. SoCal Crazy is a good friend of mine. He taught me a lot of lucha over the years. And then I also went over to, and I was working with WPW, Martin Martin. So I remember getting thrown into at least a few of those situations, and that, okay, I'll be honest, like, I was young when that happened, and that was like fish out of water. That's the, okay, I don't know, like, what was going on, but, you know, that's where you go, okay, take a step back, learn this stuff, because you don't want to be in that position again where you look like a fool. You know, nobody said anything. They were all very kind about it, but to me, I'm my own worst critic, my own worst judge. I said, you know what, time to learn this stuff. So by the time I did get to Lucha Underground, I still had a lot to learn, of course. But, I mean, I still do. You know, we all do. But,
of course.
That really set the bar for knowing, like, hey, you got to be more confident with a lot of the stuff that they're doing. And so that's where a lot of that comes into play.
Well, again, I don't want to sound like this old, you know, grizzled veteran or whatever, which I am, but I just don't want to sound like
right,
it.
Right.
But it's funny, because I tell a lot of these young guys, I go, dude, you gotta get out of your comfort zone. You gotta learn lucha. If the guy doesn't speak English, you gotta get somebody to translate for you and be ready or whatever, because it's gonna behoove you to get more work. And if the match comes out good, they're gonna say, hey, man, I can put this guy with anybody. And you're going to get more. I'll give you a quick example. I mean, I'm old, and it was probably, I'm going to say, right before the pandemic hit. It was like maybe 3 weeks before the pandemic hit really hard. I was working for Lucha Pro, and my opponent didn't show up, and Phoenix Star, you know, from Phoenix Star and Zokri, his opponent didn't show up, and then Robbie Phoenix from Santino, his opponent didn't show up. So they came up and said, hey, dude, we're just going to make it a three-way, you know, and I stopped, and I said, well, wait a minute, man, I mean, you know, I'm an old dude, this, you know, Robbie Phoenix and Phoenix Star, those guys can go, you know, and for the first time in a long time, I was nervous, and I thought, man, but they were so professional and knew what they were doing, that it ended up being one of the best matches I've ever had. You know, they worked out, boom, I went out, you know, somebody drop kicked me out. I got my rest. I came back in, boom, boom. And I was like, when that match was over, I went up to him and said, God bless you for you know, helping out an old man. But it just goes to show that it don't matter, you know, what, because, you know, that can happen at any time. Somebody says, okay, oh, we're going to put you with this guy, and you just have to be ready for it. So that's kind of what I'm talking about. You know, you're not worried about getting out of your comfort zone or whatever because you know what you're doing. Now, Bacall is a different bird here, okay? And I'm like, well, what's going on, man, or whatever? And when I was talking to her, I said, hey, look, man, let me tell you something. I don't know if you know Ricky Mandel or whatever. I said, well, yeah, of course I know who Ricky Mandel is. But you know what? There's another side to that dude. He's got experience. He's got a whatever. So if I put him against Bacall, it's going to be, you know, it's going to blow the roof off that place. And I said, yeah, but it's a no DQ. He goes, even better or whatever. So I said, okay, because I saw Bacall wrestle. They had a show at the Lucha Libre Arena out there in South Central LA. And he wrestled Gael Tapado Jr., and it went, oh, I mean, dude, they hit each other with tables, and they, first of all, they broke Leonardo Solis's merch table. I can see the little, he's like, you guys. So I was dressed, I was done. I'm trying to get out of there because, you know, I work a job. I got to get out of there because I got to go to work the next morning. And they came and grabbed me and said, hey, go out there and help, man. They can't get those guys apart or whatever. I'm like, dude, what are you calling me for? So we just got crazy out of control over there or whatever. So now they put you against Bacall. I mean, are you familiar with this dude? Do you know what to expect, or how did all this come about?
They just hit me up and said, do you want to work it? I was fine with it. Go watch this footage. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, as far as no DQ stuff goes, I mean, honestly, like, those are fun, you know, like, I can't, there's like, I know as weird as that sounds, weapons and
it just gets,
it may sound, it's fun, good times, you know.
Well, see, that's when I was talking to RJ, that's what he said. He said, man, look, you know, I'm doing, you know, I haven't worked this area before in San Bernardino, so with this show, I want to see, you know, everybody's going to get a little bit of everything. So if I put Ricky Mandel against Bacall, people are going to be like, man, what the heck is going on? And everybody's going to want to see it. And he said, then there's another side to Ricky, man. He's going to come, he ain't going to come BS around. He's coming, you know, especially now with the COVID and you know, the shows are so far and few between. He's going to come, you know, and make a show of it. That's why I did it.
Right.
And I'm like, this guy's a genius, you know, or whatever. So that's that's what we try to do out here in SoCal, because people are like, it's funny because it takes a lot to get me out of the house. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you, because I work so much, you know, and all that. And especially for me to pay to go see a show. So PCW put a show, and it was going to be Joseph and Fatu against Damian and Bestia. And I thought, man, that's a matchup and a half that I want to see. So I actually paid to go down and go check out the show just because I wanted to see that matchup. You know what I mean? And that's what I think we have here. People are going to go, dude, Ricky Mandel against Bacall. I got to see what happens in that match. So I think it's really going to work. So real quick, Ricky, let me let them know, for the people listening, it's called A New Beginning. It's for RJ Promotions, our production. It's Saturday, April 3rd. It's at 1366 Walnut Street in the city of San Bernardino. And if you want some information, just dial 323-303-0477. So we definitely look forward to that that match for sure, man. The last time I saw Ricky was he came down and did a show against what's that guy's name? Ziggy Dice. For Ruben Iglesias. That's like the last time that I got to see. So that was like, what was it, maybe 2 years ago or something like that?
Yeah, that was a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah, and that whole, it was so crazy, that match, and everything just was really great. So when I talked to Ruben, because it's funny because Ruben literally lives the block over from my brother-in-law. So anytime I go to my brother-in-law, I'll call him up and, hey, bro. And I'm like, dude, we never, like, nothing ever came about with that, man. I'd like to see a rematch or something. He goes, nah, man, this is what I want. Maybe you and Ricky Mandel against me and Ziggy Dyson. I'm like, what? He goes, what do you think about that? I'm like, let's do it, bro. He goes, all right, man, when this pandemic's over, I'm going to hook that up or whatever. I'm like, all right, cool. So, I mean, once this pandemic is over, dude, you're probably gonna be all over the place because, you know, not here, San Bernardino and out there in Whittier and all that. So just a lot of stuff to
right.
look forward to. So that's why I wanted to have you on, you know, let the people know, hey man, this is a very different type of matchup or whatever. So it's worth it for you to come down and check it out. Now, speaking about that, I just want to give you a couple more things, man. I know you're busy and you know, I want to let you go, but there's so much stuff that I want to talk to you about because we don't get to talk
sure.
that much. Here's another thing too. I've been known as I got this reputation. I hate the term comedy wrestler because I've always been
right.
like more of an entertainer because I just want to do things to like people either want to see me get killed or go home happy. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I've always done that. So, you know, I retired a long time ago, but then when Nicolette started wrestling and taking some bumps and stuff like that, I got back into it because when it's your kid, you want to make sure, you know, because like people, believe me, when you're a female wrestler, you get calls from everywhere. These people from Mexico that we've never even heard of are like, yeah, come down to Mexico City for a week and all that. I've never
right.
heard of this dude. You ain't going nowhere. So
right.
I started, you know, training, getting back into it or whatever. And so I said, look, man, this is what we came up, especially with this pandemic. I said, I'm 55 years old. I'm going to do one more year. And in that year, I'm just going to show some chain wrestling, you know, and show the people that I can wrestle because I've been labeled as, you know, a so-called comedy wrestler, you know, for such a long time. So they're putting me, it's going to start at this show at A New Beginning because they put me up against Jaguar de Oro, who I've wrestled him twice. And on those, it's always been in a six-man or a tag. Now it's just him and I one-on-one. So to me, there's a place for it, you know, to wrestle somebody, chain wrestling, which where you can still entertain the people or whatever. So this is the question that I have for you. Do you kind of get the same feeling? You know, I mean, let's put it this way. Do you feel in wrestling that there's a place for death matches, you know, like barbed wire and exploding things or whatever? Do you personally feel that there's a place for that in wrestling, or do you think it's guys that don't even know how to wrestle that just do it because they can't work a show? Or give me your thoughts on that.
I don't think that's the case. Mainly because, I mean, I feel like there's been a lot of guys over the years who have proven that they could go.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they may have made a name for themselves with that type of style, but they've, you know, but in other situations where they don't need to do that, they've proven themselves. Just like guys who don't typically do it, and then
yeah.
all of a sudden, you know. So honestly, I think there's a place for all of it, but I also think that there's a proper way to do it as well, if
exactly.
that makes sense. Like, if you're
exactly.
going to have, like, guys who have never been trained and they're just like, oh, well, I'm just going to go throw you through a bar. You know, that's one of those situations. Right. That's a situation where it's like, well, you know, you've never officially been trained. Because, I mean, I've known friends who will do death matches just to get the feel of it, just to try it out. But I also know
yeah.
these guys have been properly
yeah.
trained and they're very good at what they do, so they want to try something new, and then, you know, lo and behold, it turns out that they, for some whatever reason, that they like it.
Yeah.
You know,
and
so they kind of make a way of it.
And I like to watch a lot of these shoot interviews and some of these documentaries and stuff, and I was watching one with Sabu, and he said, you know, the end of the world can't come every day. He goes, they want me to go to Japan and do all these deathmatch and barbed wires like three times in one week. And I'm like, dude,
right.
you know, you got to build up to it, you know? And
right, right, right.
Just like, we're not going to just go a barbed wire match here and exploding here. And it's just, you know, it's just, you're doing stuff or whatever. But I'll tell you this, if done right, there is a place for it. You know, I was building up a feud with Guyan over there at the arena. And we were building up to, we're going to have a bull rope match, you know, at the end of the world. So the tag match that we had before, it was packed. You know, that was like the most people I've ever seen there. But what happened was we were fighting and I ripped off his mask. And when I ripped off his mask, somebody covered his face with a t-shirt. And, you know, you're like helpless because you don't want anybody to see your face. And I was beating on him. And all of a sudden, they started coming after me. And I'm like, who the hell's hitting me? I turn around and, you know, some dude came after me with a trash can. So his brother He came and got me and took me and he gave me my pay envelope and he threw a towel over my head and said, go out the back and get the hell out of here. And I was like,
right.
I'm in the car heading to the 110 going, what happened? You know? And it led
right,
up
right.
to the big and then Kayem beat, that's where I got the kidney where he did the flip and hit me in the kidney, you know, or whatever. So he killed me and everybody was happy. I didn't have to worry about putting a towel on my head because everyone was happy that I got my ass kicked over there. So that's what I'm saying.
Right.
When you have a match like this with Bacal and Ricky Mandel, it's like I said, it's something that interests people to be like, man, that matchup is a very different matchup. So I want to go check that out. So I think it's going to do well. I've been promoting it here on this show and I'll continue, you know, to promote it so that we can, you know, get that place back because I think people are going to want to see what happens there. But it just goes to show the guys like hey man, lucha match, you know, strong style. He's not afraid to get out of his comfort zone, or in other words, you know what I'm saying, Ricky? It's like, you know, hey, whatever match you want to have, I'm ready for it. You kind of get what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. 100%.
So, yeah, we definitely look forward. You know, hey man, I tell my people when I book them, I go, dude, it's gonna be like 15 minutes over the phone. You know, we just want to promote your show, whatever. And Ricky and I went almost an hour. We're like 10 minutes away from going almost an hour or whatever. So, but that's how it is. You know, I have so much passion for the business only because I want people to understand what goes on. People see the finished product. You know what I see? What I mean? They don't see how Ricky Mandel had to go to Big Five to try to find some weights and he's got to get in the gym and make a reservation. And you know what I mean? That's why we have a vehicle like this to get it out there. So when they go see the match, they're like, yeah, man, it paid off. This dude looks good or whatever. So
right.
I appreciate you coming on real quick. One more time for the people listening. It's a big show coming up. It's called A New Beginning. It's Saturday, April 3rd. It's going to be at 1366 Walnut Street in the city of San Bernardino. If you want information, want to check it out, get some, you know, tickets and find out if you know, got to wear a mask and all that stuff. It's 323-303-0477. Big matchup with Ricky Mandel versus Bacal. It's a no DQ match. I'm going to be wrestling Jaguar de Oro. Vito Fratelli's Amazing Junior, Sergeant Major, Crazy Chaos. It's going to be huge. It's a big show, so make sure you go check it out. Hey, Ricky, I appreciate you coming on, man. I mean, I know I talked your ear off or whatever, but when, you know, it's just this the passion, man. And I know somebody like you who's worked hard to get where he is, you know, working with Lucha Underground and you know, in Vegas, which to me, it seems like, you know, the hotbed was always L.A. And then Arizona started picking up the pace. But, man, Vegas has just been – you know, out there, you know, we had the first Lucha Expo out there and they, I would say they hosted because, you know, they use their ring and stuff like that out
right.
there in Vegas. But you're saying that's starting to get up there. I mean, would you agree? Is that why you moved out there?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, the move was based off of location too. With the West Coast, like you can hit Arizona and California within a matter of 4 hours from here.
Yeah.
For California, for me, it felt like longer for certain places. So I just was like, you know what, I'll give this Vegas place a shot. And then lo and behold, it just like, you know, when I moved out here, there was only, I think, maybe two promotions that really ran somewhat consistently. And now they're getting ready for like, you know, another one was added, a Versus Pro was added. It just seems like there's a lot more picking up out here. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen with it.
Yeah, I think now, especially with the pandemic, you know, starting to ease up a little bit, I think it's going to explode because people are just itching to get out there and see a good show and stuff like that. So I think it's going to do really well. So real quick for the people, listen, don't forget, check out, they go to Richard Matthew, right, to go to your Facebook page and stuff like that. Any other social media?
Instagram and Twitter, Ricky_Mandel.
Ricky_Mandel. Perfect. Hey, man, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. For the people, listen, don't forget, check out that show. I'll make sure I give that number again before we get out of here. And I'll keep everybody posted on my social media as well. Ricky, I look forward to seeing you, man. I'll see you on April 3rd.
Look forward to seeing you too, man.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Right,
for the people listening to us, we'll be right back after this. Ricky Mandel, everybody, make sure you check him out. We'll be right back. Thank God, I love that Ricky Mandel. Dude's got a passion, and it's true. Like I'm telling you, that matchup is very, you know. I mean, out of control, hardcore. You know, he can work luchas and all that, but once he gets going, he gets that temper, and I think Ricky Mandel is gonna be the person that's gonna handle him. So make sure you check that out. But for the people listeners, don't forget Yards After Contact. Gotta check out that Yards After Contact printing service, apparel, and of course, custom cornhole boards. Check them out at yardsaftercontact.com and check out their Facebook page. Great pictures of the custom UWEC shirts modeled by our owner and proprietor of the United Wrestling Council, Manny Pinson. There's some shots on his Facebook of him in a tank top that I'll try to post next time he comes on so you can see him in one of the shirts. So that's Yards After Contact. Get your custom gear today. So big thanks to Ricky Mandel for coming on. We'll keep talking about this show that's coming up April 3rd. I'll keep everybody like if we're moving into the red tier, if the city of Torrance, from what I hear, it's only going to be 100 people or less, you know, which could be a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. We'll keep working on finding out the information for that. It's going to be at Pulse Photos, you know, and it's a perfect place for a show. So we'll keep everybody posted and up to date on that. And with that being said, we'll see everybody here